You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to the program. Great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon, and a lot to do today. We will talk to Tony Barnhart momentarily. We'll talk about the spring college football season as well with Scotty Walden, the head coach of Austin Peay. Tim Doyle looking into the basketball world. Field Yates on the draft and what's up for some of the top players. And later, a name from the past, the program director of WJOX in Birmingham, Pat Smith, who was there at the beginning of this program. And we'll take some time to reminisce. Your phone calls, as always, at 855-242-7285. Not a lot of news overnight, so we'll get right to our guests. And we don't want to keep this gentleman waiting. He is... Only the headline, Mr. College Football, one of the great voices of the game, and Tony Barnhart joining us. Tony, man, it's been too long since we have talked. I hope everything's going okay.
Everything is going well, Paul. The sun's out in Atlanta, Georgia today. We don't have anything falling out of the sky. We're managing the pandemic as well we can. So far, so good. But yeah, happy to talk to you again, my friend.
Yeah, it has been just an absolutely brutal week weather-wise. So many cancellations, delays, issues. And, you know, we talked to your good friend Tim Brando the other day, and, I mean, he had been locked in. I talked to a friend in Starkville yesterday. He said he had not been out of his house since Sunday. So a lot of us who including where I am and you are, which are usually in the main lines, we've actually done pretty well. But let's get to... some college football stories. The big story this week, Tony, of course, Gus Malzahn, and we're really eager to hear your thoughts on that.
Really one of the very best hires in this season of hiring coaches. I mean, when you look at it, you're talking about a university with a 60,000-student body right smack dab in the middle of the state of Florida. They're used to winning. They're committed to winning. And I agree with what Gus said the other day. At 55, they're getting the best version of Gus Malzahn. I thought it was a great, great hire.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, Tony. And I don't know about everything that went wrong for him at Auburn, but he just seemed rejuvenated. And you and I both have seen him so often at Auburn in the last couple of years. He just seemed like he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Well, he and I traded text messages early this week, and he just said, you know, this place is a gold mine. So, yeah, things did not end well at Auburn. The last 3 years were difficult. Obviously, we remember 2017 when they beat Alabama and Georgia. But, yeah, just from trading messages with him this week, he is excited about this opportunity. And, look, you know who else is excited? I talked to our friend Michael Resco, the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. He was over the moon. He's got a good roster of coaches, and he just said we just added another great coach to our roster.
So speaking of coaches, Tony, we mentioned Malzahn. Let me go through some of the new coaches because I don't think we've had a chance to talk since the season ended and the coaching carousel finally quieted down as it did this week. Let me start in Auburn where Brian Harsin is taking over. Forget will be. He is taking over for Gus Malzahn. What do you think?
I think he had a very good track record at Boise. And the key, anytime you come in from another part of the country, you've got to surround yourself with coaches who know the SEC, who know what recruiting is really like in the SEC. And I think he's done that. You know, he's bringing in Mike Bobo and some others. And so I think given his background, he's going to succeed at Auburn because he's going to surround himself by really good people.
Talking to Tony Barnhart here, our first guest on a Friday afternoon. Tony, let me go to Knoxville next, where that has probably been, I wouldn't call it controversial, but maybe the most analyzed hire of the four in the SEC, the hiring of Josh Heupel by Danny White. What do you make out of Heupel's move to Knoxville?
I think that's the kind of move that, first of all, to have Danny White there. Danny White's got a proven track record as an athletic director, and this was the kind of hire that I expected Tennessee to make. I mean, there are issues that Tennessee's dealing with. They don't know how this investigation is going to turn out. And when you've got that kind of uncertainty, it is hard to go out and get a coach, somebody else's coach, as a proven track record as a Power Five coach. You know, I think Josh Heupel did a good job taking over for Scott Frost at UCF. Two really good seasons, and they struggled last year. So this was the kind of hire that I thought Tennessee would make, and only time's going to tell if it's going to work out. But it certainly didn't hurt for Josh Heupel to add Rodney Garner to his list of coaches.
No, that's a big-time recruiter. Speaking of Tennessee, I want to get your thoughts on where they are right now, the future, and starting with Philip Fulmer's departure, because I know he got blamed for Pruitt, and there's no getting around it. But for guys like us, that just seemed an incredibly sad farewell.
That was not the way that I wanted to see Phil Fulmer go out. Now they did. You know, he has his legacy. I think his legacy is still solid as a player, as a coach, as a national championship coach. He did things with that program that were absolutely incredible. But when you become the athletic director at a school like Tennessee in the upper division of the Southeastern Conference, your job is to fix football. And Philip Fulmer hired Jeremy Pruitt. He gave him a raise. It didn't work out, so that it makes it difficult, but still have a great deal of respect and admiration for Philip Fulmer.
Not that there are many candidates of Fulmer's ilk to become a athletic directors, but it just seemed like that was the end of an era, Tony. I don't know about you, where we used to see Bryant and Dooley, Dye become athletic directors. Fulmer became the athletic director there on his second go-around. But it just seems like the ADs of today are a different breed.
Totally, totally different breed. It's about fundraising. It's about making the political connections. And it's a much more difficult job than it's ever been. And so football coaches, for the most part, don't have the training that they need to be a successful athletic director at this level. But you look at a guy like Danny White, look at his track record. He did a great job at UCF, really the first family of athletic administrators in the country. Everybody knows what his dad did at Notre Dame and Duke. So I thought when they hired Danny White, I just thought that was a great hire for Tennessee and given where they need to go from here.
Let's go to Vanderbilt for a second. That we had Clark Lee on the other day, Tony. I was really blown away by his personality and the fact that he just didn't get in there and say, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do. I mean, he was so authentic and realistic. I don't know if you know him very well, but can he get this job done at Vanderbilt where others have failed?
I have not met Clark Lee, but every time I've seen him interviewed, he comes across very impressive. I think the thing that he has got to do and what the administration at Vanderbilt's got to do is Vanderbilt has to get serious about its facilities. Their football stadium needs so much work. You can't ask a coach to go out and compete against the Georgias and the Floridas and the Tennessees and the Auburns and the Alabamas of the world if you're not willing to make the right kind of commitment to facilities, and Vanderbilt needs a big time commitment as part of this.
Talking to Tony Barnhart here. Tony, I haven't mentioned Shane Beamer yet, and certainly we've all been associated with his dad. He is energetic, he's exciting to talk to, but can anyone win other than Steve Spurrier at South Carolina?
And that's the big question. Now, we all remember that Shane Beamer was with Coach Spurrier for a good chunk of that time at South Carolina, was head of recruiting during that chunk when they went through a stretch where they were signing every great player in the state. Well, guess what? The state has changed. in Clemson who's getting the great players. And that'll be the key to Shane Beamer, whether or not he's successful at South Carolina. Will he be able to recruit and get the players that are going to compete with the Floridas and the Georgias and the Tennessees of the world? And that remains to be seen. But he's got the right pedigree. We've all watched him grow up in the Southeastern Conference. So I think he can get it done, but it's real work that's got to be done on the recruiting trail.
Tony, let me look ahead. We've covered what has happened and all the news of the year end. But I want to ask you about a school close to you, and that is Georgia. And it almost seems like a contrived conversation here. And I don't want that to be, but you know, some of this happened with Danny Sheridan the other day when he seemed to say that if Kirby Smart doesn't win this year, when is he going to win? And I think I understand what he meant by that. I know a lot of people bristled, but I want your assessment of Kirby Smart's program. We know the record, we know how great he is in recruiting, but what is he capable of on the upside?
I think he's capable. I don't think there are any limits on the program at the University of Georgia. The commitment is there. They recruited at a very, very high level. I mean, who else is other than Alabama, who's recruited at a higher level in the last 4 years, four to 5 years? Georgia's done a tremendous job. They've been in the discussion for the most part. I heard somebody on your show the other day, a caller who just says, well, what's going to happen to Kirby if he doesn't get it done and win this year? I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to come back next year and make another run at it. I mean, the program is in such good shape. Now, have they won a national championship? No. But the idea is to have a program that's good enough to where that you're in the discussion and knocking on the door on a regular basis. And that's what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia. So this idea that, you know, if he doesn't do it this year, he's not going to do it. No, if he doesn't do it this year, he's going to come back, and they've recruited well enough, and they've got the elite level of quarterback coming in. They'll be in the mix again next year.
But you understand, Tony, the frustration with Georgia fans, I have a hard time understanding it myself, because it just seems to me that he is an upgrade over Mark Richt, and I know people want to compare the record to Mark Richt, but I also don't understand, Tony. You better than anyone I know that undercurrent, and maybe it's a very minute infinitesimal group of people, but they do seem to make noise.
Oh, they absolutely make noise, and I understand where they're coming from. I just think that they're wrong. The idea that Kirby Smart somehow can do all these things in recruiting and putting together a program, but he lacks some sort of ingredient to get them over the top, that's silly. You know, if you can either recruit at this level or you can't. You either hire good coaches or you don't. And I think Kirby Smart has proven that. Now, I know the frustration, because they sit there and look at what Alabama's done, and they say, well, why can't we do what Alabama's done? All right. Well, you know, they beat Florida three out of the last 4 years. They were in position to beat Alabama twice, and they didn't do it. Give credit to Alabama. But, yeah, the people who think that somehow that Georgia has somehow reached some sort of critical mass under Kirby Smart, as much as I like and respect Danny Sheridan, I just disagree.
Let me welcome some of you who have been watching volleyball. We thank you for dropping by here on what has already been a busy afternoon. We're chatting with Tony Barnhart about a favorite subject here, and we're wrapping up on the Kirby Smart question. Let me end with the GOAT of all time now, Nick Saban. And we had a guest last night, Tony, Ken Smithmeyer, who essentially said, yeah, it's just everyone better just wave the white flag. As long as Nick Saban is healthy, he's not going away, and you're not going to beat him. I don't think that's probably a debatable point right now, but it is getting quite frustrating and exasperating for everyone else to try to deal with Nick Saban.
Well, and what does Nick Saban do after putting together one of the best teams, certainly one of the best offenses we have ever seen, winning the national championship with really only one game where they were truly challenged, and that was against Florida. And what does he do? He goes out and signs what many people believe is the best recruiting class he's ever had. And that was his response to all that's going on. I mean, we need to enjoy what we're watching right now. It's like the NBA when Michael Jordan was playing. You better just enjoy it, because someday he's not going to be there anymore. And I have a tremendous respect for what Nick Saban has done at Alabama. And logically, you should not be able to do what he has done over the course of his 13, 14 years since he came there. But he's done it. And as long as he keeps recruiting at this level, he's going to be very difficult to beat.
Tony Barnhart. Tony, great to talk to you. It's been too long, and that will not happen again. But you be well, your family, and most important, look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, Paul. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. Tony Barnhart, the one and only. Many more conversations we're having. I know that there's a lot going on today with weather and postponements, and we will keep you updated on what the afternoon looks like when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. And Scotty Walden joining us in a couple of moments. We already had Tony B on. Tim Doyle on college basketball. Field Yates, the NFL expert. And Pat Smith, who helped to create the program that you are currently listening to on radio. We'll talk about how we got to this point. And your phone calls as well at 855-242-7285. And let's get to Mike, who is calling from California. Hey, Mike. Mike, you there? I don't hear a mic, so we will try Dustin in Arkansas. Dustin, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, it's Dustin. How are you, partner?
We are doing great. How about you?
Bro, I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I was listening to your guest host as you had a guy talking a while ago, and I want to mention a couple of things to you. First of all, I want to say, what is this hire of Gus Malzahn to down there in Florida, meaning for the fact that Tennessee could have picked this guy up? I know with the situation we were in, but I just really believe that he could have been a pretty good hire versus what we got. I want your first thoughts on that, if you can answer that question, please.
Yeah, I don't know if that was ever a factor. And, you know, you and I and anyone could have looked at the field and realized Gus Malzahn was out there. But I think you have to remember who was making the decision. And the athletic director mm-hmm. in Tennessee had his own list already made up. And I don't think Gus Malzahn was on that list.
Yes, sir. I want to make this statement. I'm going to ask you another question. I think the Georgia fans need to look at where Tennessee has been and where we're at now, and they need to stop complaining. I want to make that statement right now because Tennessee would do everything in their power to be where Georgia's at. I'm just going to be honest with you on that statement. My other thing I want to say to you or ask you is, where do you think Tennessee's at now with the coaching hires that they've had in the last, if you want to say, 10 days with the new defensive coordinator and those guys coming in? Do you think this is just an average, say, coaching staff, nothing big, nothing to get excited about type deal, just average coaches? What do you think about that, Paul?
I see some good coaches on that list, especially Rodney Garner, who has been at Tennessee before and is an outstanding recruiter. So I think Rodney is someone to get pretty excited about. He's old school, but
the DC.
Well, I don't know much about Banks. I mean, I know he was at Penn State, but that's the one I'm not sure. I really couldn't tell you very much about.
Yes, sir. Well, Paul, I appreciate you, partner. Listen, thank you for taking my call today, as usual.
Thank you, Dustin. You take care of yourself. Great to have you on. And JD is up next in Miami. Hello, JD.
Thank you for taking my call, Paul. The two guys you have had, the crappy Mike Griffin and I forgot the other guy's name, saying that that Georgia has beaten the Gators three out of the last four times.
Well, I think what Griffin said was that Florida had lost its last four games of the year. Everyone knows that's okay. Three. That's three. They only lost three.
Okay. Do they have a short memory? The two games before that, the 2 years before that, who won those games?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we need to, you know, we need to hire an FBI investigator to figure out who won those games. I think most people know.
Well, because you know, I mean, this Gator fan, I mean, those Bulldog fans thinks they won the last three games, fine, but who won the two before those? So it's actually in the last 6 years they have only won three games against the Gators.
Yeah, I really don't think it matters. I frankly think the only thing that matters is who won the last game. I mean, your program has gone through a lot of iterations down there in Gainesville. So why worry about what happened 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, hey, who cares about what happened 4 years ago?
I really don't care either. So I think we're cool on that, JD.
All right. Say hello to McCrappy Mike for me.
You don't like Griff, do you?
No, sure don't.
Okay. You probably ruined his weekend. I hate to hear that. Hey, thanks for the call. Sean is up next in Tennessee. Sean, thanks. Good afternoon.
Yeah, that's me, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Great. I was going to talk to you. I saw a podcast from Dog Nation, and the guy that was before me is an anti-dog guy. So I just was they had Coach Rick on there, and he celebrated his 61st birthday, and he had on Georgia outfit. And he said it had been 5 years since he had wore anything from Georgia. And they were talking about the comparison between after he was off about him and Kirby. And they was talking about a lot of things that Mark Richt did well at Georgia and how Georgia holds their coaches, ex-coaches, in high esteem, like Rick and even the one before Rick. And
Jim Donnan.
Going back to Dooley with himself or maybe Ray Golf. But do you think that, you know, Kirby, I know he's doing better, but I'm looking at him having the long tenure, longer, maybe longer than even, unless he gets an NFL job, than what Rick did.
I don't think Kirby Smart's ever leaving Georgia. He's not interested in going to the NFL. That's where he wants to be. And, you know, as long as he keeps on this track, I expect him to be a lifer. So, hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I'm glad to hear Coach Rick is doing better. Bill is in Florida, and you're on the air. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
I wanted to take a minute and get your thoughts on Florida Gator basketball program. I just heard Tom Barnhart talk about the white family, the first family of college sports.
Right.
But yet we have a coach who, in my opinion, has taken a top 10 program and made it a top 50 program. And don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
Yeah, what Tony was referring to is Mike White is part of a family. Kevin White's his dad, who's retiring as the AD at Duke. His brother, of course, is now at Tennessee. You know, you're the second caller in recent days that has been very critical of Mike White. What don't you like about him?
His inability to take players and make them better. His lack of player development. There was one year where we had three players and we went against a team and they said they had two NBA players and we didn't have any. But yet, Dorian Finney-Smith, Michael Frazier, and Tim Giosso all are on the NBA team. And Dorian Finney-Smith actually is a starter for the Dallas Mavericks. But I
want to ask you this, though. Coach White came within a game of the Final Four in 2017. He's been to the round of 16 a couple of times. I realize he has not equaled what Billy Donovan has done, but nobody will. Billy Donovan was a unique coach. He won two national championships there. He had another Final Four run. I must be the only one, but I really think Mike White is a good basketball coach, and I'm everyone's entitled to their opinion. I mean, that's what this show is all about. But I happen to think some of the criticism of him is really interesting. We'll talk more about it in a few minutes. We have some plenty of guests. We're loaded with guests this afternoon. We hope you'll continue to give us a ring. Scotty Walden, he's the coach at Austin Peay, and he'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and I want to welcome our next guest, Scotty Walden, who is at Austin Peay. You may remember the name. He was the interim coach after the first game at USM. And the story of Austin Peay might be one of the most confusing that I have ever encountered. We'll get to that in a second. Coach, first of all, thank you very much. Great to have you on. I know you guys are excited about opening up, this sounds strange here in February, the college football season Sunday.
No doubt, Paul. Hey, I'm honored to be on here, man. Big fan of your show. And, it's unprecedented times, but we're ready for spring football or maybe better known around here in Clarksville right now, winter football. I'm looking at a lot of snow on our field right now. So, spring football is kicking off and we're ready to roll.
Coach, I want to ask you to explain the audience because I remember sitting here. We were all excited about this game between Austin Peay down in Montgomery. We had the coaches on, and you were excited too. You were in Hattiesburg watching that opening game of the college football season. Were you not?
I was 100%. I remember it being such a big deal. Our whole staff at Southern Miss talked about it. I just remember it being a huge deal because obviously everything going on with COVID and. You know, we'd be in the first game, you know, everybody at that point was wondering, you know, are we really going to have a season and be able to play? I think everyone across the country was thinking that. And then, you know, to see Austin Peay play Central Arkansas and the game kicked off and, you got to see, like, you know, coaches had to wear masks and the adjusted, you know, interviews at halftime, all the little things that, we kind of grew, I guess, now to be a little more normal than it was back in August and September. I was real anxious to see all that. And I remember sitting on my couch and watching that game. And, crazy the way things transpired. But I was we watched that game. We talked about it the next day in the office and everything. It was a big deal.
And then I remember sitting here talking to your former boss right before that Monday night game on Labor Day. And then before the end of the week, I think you were in charge of the team. That's not even the most confusing part. So Austin Peay played last season. I can't remember. How many games did Austin Peay play in the 20 season?
They played three games,
okay.
Three non-conference games.
So they play three non-conference games. You're at Southern Miss. An opening occurs. You get hired. And now, you must be asking someone, when do I get a break? Because you literally have gone season to season.
No doubt. My wife is, you know, she made me take some time off, Paul, in the Christmas break recently because we're really about to coach. I mean, and these kids are about to play three seasons in a year. I mean, you know, the fall, the spring, and then play the fall again. And so, coaching as it is, as you know, man, there's not a lot of downtime, and now it's even more so. But unbelievable journey. I mean, I found out, you know, after our first game against South Alabama and Southern Miss that, you know, our head coach stepped down and we had a team meeting at 4 o'clock that day. And I found out at 3:40 that I was going to be the interim head coach. And so we took that bad boy and just ran with it as best we could. And, you know, really thankful for my time at Southern Miss. It was an awesome opportunity with awesome people, awesome community, awesome kids. And, you know, then another curveball gets thrown, you know, couple weeks into the season where, you know, started to be contacted by Austin Peay and our athletic director, Gerald Harrison, and he and I started to connect and really just, you know, our vision just aligned with the way we saw, you know, the game of football and also how to you know, work with student athletes and how to build a program and the vision. And we kind of hit it off and then, you know, now we're here. And so an amazing journey and it's been unprecedented and been a whirlwind. And I can't believe we're getting to play on Sunday, but I'm just excited we get to play, and our kids are really excited we get to play on Sunday and kick this thing off.
So, Coach, what is this season going to look like? Because as soon as it ends, you're going to have to get ready for the next season.
Yeah, great question. So I get that all the time. You know, in my mind, like on our calendar right now, Paul, I'm banking on, you know, at least 6 to 8 weeks off, you know, for our guys once the season ends. It all depends on when you're – season gets done. You know, obviously the national championship is May 15th there in Frisco, Texas for the FCS. You know, we're going to play playoffs. We've got a 7-game conference schedule in the OVC. So every game is a conference game. Every game is important. But once it wraps up, no matter when our season ends, you know, we're looking at least giving our kids, you know, 6 to 8 weeks off and our coaches give some time. Our coaches, you know, we may be a little less time because we got to go right back into recruiting. Which was obviously unique about this past scenario. You know, right when I took this job, we had to jump right into recruiting, and then recruiting got crazy in January because we were, you know, doing Zooms. We started our practices January 23rd. We're sprinting off the field up here to the third floor of our facility, getting right on a Zoom call with parents and doing our quote-unquote in-home visits via Zoom, recruiting the best we could, and had to sign a class. And so, you know, coaching-wise, we're going to jump right into that, but players are, you know, I'm anticipating giving those guys about 6 to 8 weeks off. But I do also anticipate, Paul, I could be wrong on this, but I think that the NCAA at some point is going to step in and mandate, you know, a certain amount of time that the players have to have off between the two seasons because I think it's the player safety issue. I mean, these guys are about to go at it for 7 weeks, if not more, if you make the playoffs. And then, you know, they're going to need some time to recover and get ready for a full load of games in the fall. But that's our schedule. That's kind of our plan right now.
And Coach, I know you're expected to have a good team. Let's assume that this is a great season. How long is that playoff? How long will that playoff last if you go all the way to the final game?
Yeah, so the final game is May 15th in Frisco, Texas. So if you got done May 15th and you took about 6 to 8 weeks off, I would aim, you know, at bringing the guys back, you know, probably more, you know, if late June or early July after the 4th of July, you know, and getting ready in the summer, you know, for our August camp. But obviously, yeah, that would be the latest that you would get done is May 15th.
And what do the sports medicine people tell you? I know this is a concern about, you know, a couple of games in the fall, 7 to 10 games now, and then starting the real season again. What do you have to be concerned about?
Just the obviously recovery time for anybody that's had a major injury, and also just naturally, you know, the wear and tear on the body through the course of the season. Making sure that we give these guys ample time off, and I've pitched the 6 to 8 week window, and our medical staff seems to feel that's a pretty good. You know, a pretty good length of time off that we can give them, you know, between the seasons. But as long as we're giving them some time, I just don't think you're going to be able to, man, play your season and then, hey, give them 2 weeks off and then go right back into your summer conditioning and get ready. I just think it's a different climate and you got to adapt to it. I just don't think it's going to be old school in the sense of, you know, we're starting June 1st with summer conditioning. I just don't think that's going to be feasible with this schedule that we have, you know what I mean? So I think the 6 to 8 week window has been received well so far with the medical staff. And so I'm going to obviously keep listening to them in terms of, you know, if there's any adjustments need to be made to that. But we want to have these guys as fresh and as ready as can be to when we report in the summer and in fall camp.
And I don't want to get too far ahead, but I do want to ask you, because once the fall season starts, you play, I believe, at Ole Miss in the second game of the season. You know, as fans, we, you know, in all honesty, you were at Southern Miss. I mean, some people roll their eyes at games like Austin Peay and Ole Miss, but from a standpoint of what you guys are trying to do, can you give us the other side of that coin?
Oh, I'm thrilled you asked that question, because people can roll their eyes all they want. The only people that need to believe you can win that game is the people in this building. And I know that sounds like coach speak and everything like that, but I know as a competitor, and I know as players, as competitors, there's not a game you ever go into thinking that, hey, we're just going to go in here and lose. You know, I'm crazy enough, and our staff's probably crazy enough to think we can win every game we play, and that's not being cocky or anything like that. I'm just saying that I want to be surrounded by people that believe we can win everything we do. So, you know, in 2022, we got to line up against Nick Saban in Alabama too, and you know, we're going to go into those games and planning to win. You know, we're not going to go into any game saying, hey, we're just going to take this paycheck and get out of here. That's not the mindset I've ever believed in, and that's not what our kids are going to believe in. So I love, you know, Paul, I've always prided myself, and I love being the underdog, and I love people doubting us. And, you know, hey, you know, one thing in our program, we've got a program mantra called Chase the Lion that we talk about all the time. It's biblical, but it talks about going chasing your dreams and not fearing failure. And our kids are not going to be programmed that way. And so whether we walk into Ole Miss and we get the win or we get beat, we're going to go into that game fully preparing to win and to go execute. And that's got to be the mindset, I think, every game. And you got to treat every game, you know, the same in terms of that preparation, whether we're playing Tennessee Tech like this Sunday or we're playing a great team like Ole Miss or a great team like Alabama. You know, the focus remains the same and the goal remains the same. And I think anything less than that is cheating your kids and cheating your coaching staff. So, you know, we plan on doing everything we can to prepare our best and to go mix it up with the best and have fun with it. And our kids have fun with it. And a lot of those guys take pride in, like, hey, man, Ole Miss should have recruited me, man. Alabama should have recruited me. I want to get on the field and show them why they should have. And that's always a fun time for our guys. So, but our mindset is go play with a chip on your shoulder and play with the edge. And App State did it to Michigan. And, you know, there's been a couple other examples of that. So, you know, why not Austin Peay? Why not somebody else?
Why not? Coach, love the enthusiasm. Coach Scotty Walden from Austin Peay. Good luck this weekend, and we hope you'll come back. Thank you for the time.
Always, Paul. Appreciate you having us on. Let's go, Peay.
You got it. Coach Scotty Walden, the great motto of Austin Peay, especially when they had a basketball player named Fly Williams. Figure that one out for yourself. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. And let's see if we can grab one call here before we run out of time. Peyton, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just wanting to know what South Carolina and Shane Beamer need to do this year to become a better football team.
Well, Peyton, I think the biggest issue there has already been solved, and that's getting a change. For whatever reason, I don't know why, Muschamp just didn't work. Players apparently weren't listening to him. Mistakes were made in recruiting, and, you know, his staff at times was inconsistent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offense wasn't all that great either. Anyway, appreciate your call very much. We have had a pretty breakneck first hour, and appreciate Coach joining us. That is a really amazing attitude there, thinking that, hey, Well, we can beat anyone. What else are you supposed to think if you're a head football coach? We have a lot to do. We will get some basketball conversation in here in a few minutes. We'll also talk to Field Yates. He will join us in the next hour talking about the NFL draft. In the final hour today, Pat Smith, who really created the idea for this show many, many years ago in Birmingham, will join us. We'll do some reminiscing and maybe some interacting, and we will be back with three more hours. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.